The view is often clearest when you're looking up from the bottom. When things seem at their worst, when you're at your lowest point and it seems like there is no chance that things are going to work out, and you're sure that nothing is ever going to get better, these are very often the times when clarity comes. Take a look at the book of Jonah. It isn't until he is tossed into the sea, he's thrown overboard, he sinks down into the depths of the abyss, that he has this revelation of God's sovereignty. At his lowest point, he recognizes God's power, his love, his care for Jonah. And how does that discovery show up? Well, in the jaws of a big fish. In chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, we read last week in verse 17, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah." Now that may not sound to you like a hoped-for solution to your issues or problems, but it works for him. And Jonah's experience, it reveals a powerful point for all of us today, and that is this: that when your life is out of control, God is in control. You might not find yourself overboard in a violent storm at sea, but chances are your life has felt like that a time or two. Maybe you know someone like that, a friend or a family member that you care deeply about, who's in an out-of-control situation that you have no power to change. You're helpless. Things are chaos. Maybe you're actually experiencing that chaos yourselves today. You're sinking beneath the surface, or at least you feel like it. You feel like there's no help in sight. You may not feel it. You may not see it. But even when your life is out of control, you can be assured that God is in control. Jonah realizes, as unlikely as it seems, that God and in his power ensures that the right fish shows up at the right place at the right time, and it swallows Jonah whole. So from the bottom now, looking up, we see Jonah. He's finally able to reconcile in a world that is completely hostile to him that God's love is still at work, always has been. And no matter how chaotic it gets for Jonah, circumstances are entirely under divine control. It just doesn't always seem that way. So why does this story about a fish bait prophet from ancient times matter to you and I? Well, it's important that we trust that God is in control in chaotic times like these. Because if we trust God, then the outcome is that we are going to follow him. So you and I need to know that God is working things out for good. According to the Bible in Romans 8:28, it says, as a follower of Jesus, his ways for you are good, and good for everyone who loves him. So here's where trust actually matters the most. Even when we don't get why or how it's going to work out for our best interest, it's in those moments that we still want to follow God's way. And that's really what Jonah's story is about. It's reminding us that even when we don't see it, God is in control and he is working things out for your good. For Israel, this story had a special relevance. Things seemed like they were getting out of control as the shadow of Assyria, Nineveh was the capital city, that shadow was falling over them. And now Jonah is facing a shadow of his own. He's in the belly of a big fish. So we join me in the Bible, if you have one, or read along here on the screen as we end chapter 1, begin in chapter 2. And verse 17 of chapter 1, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." So chapter 2 of Jonah is actually his prayer. It's a prayer of gratitude for this unimaginable rescue that he finds himself in, which I'm pretty positive at this point he has no idea really what's going on. He doesn't understand what's happening to him. I mean, how could he? He was thrown overboard, he was sinking down, and he finds himself somewhere. Interestingly enough, there's a tension going on that you and I as readers are beginning to understand in this story, but Jonah, He still does not yet get it. So his prayer from the belly of the fish is a song of, or a psalm of thanksgiving. He's praising God for this great rescue that he is experiencing, a rescue from personal danger and chaos out at sea. The thing is, he was running from God in chapter 1 because he was trying to make sure that God didn't rescue his enemy, Nineveh, in their great need. So the reason that Jonah needs rescuing in the first place is because he was running from the rescue that he was called to bring to Nineveh. And he finds himself in the belly of the big fish. So is it possible, just asking, is it possible that you and I also can be grateful, totally filled with gratitude for God's great rescue for you and me, and yet we still don't recognize our own call to extend that same grace to others who also are in need of rescue? So if we're going to accomplish God's good purposes for our lives, we need to completely trust him. Completely trust him. So let's see how Jonah's prayer, let's see where it takes him. In verse 2, he said, "In my distress I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help and you listened to my cry." So what Jonah is being rescued from, he says, from deep in the realm of the dead. So Jonah, we begin to understand here, is dying in the depths of the sea. And he recognized it. The Old Testament Hebrew word for the realm of the dead is Sheol. Sheol. In the Hebrew mind, this Sheol is simply a place where the dead reside, kind of the realm of the dead. Jonah later refers to it as the heart of the earth. And so he describes this descent into Sheol, or the realm of the dead, in verses 3 and 4. As we follow along, he's talking to God now, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me. All the waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight." So he's describing, again, this journey down into the depths. He's nearly drowned at this point. And the dread that thing that he's going through almost would render him unconscious probably at that point. He's being affixed, he's drowning. And interestingly enough, in all of this prayer, he never mentions a fish, which leads me to think that he doesn't realize he's in the belly of a fish. All he knows is that he went from wet darkness to dry darkness, and there's no light at all. Everything has become shut out. There's no sunrise, no sunset. There's no night light. It's just blackness. And when he comes to again, he would only know that he's in this deep darkness that he now experienced, but it's not Sheol because he's still breathing. He's still alive. But instead, he's in this mysterious safety or comfort. He comes to terms with understanding that he has been banished from God. He gives a terrifying account of it as he's determined in that moment to pray. I think for you and I, when we get into those deepest places, when we are in this mysterious place, we don't know what it is, and I may feel like we're in the realm of the dead, and yet we're called like Jonah to pray, to call out. Jonah goes on describing his downward plunge. In verse 5 he says, "The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, the roots of the mountain sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever." We get this picture now. This is a hopeless situation. He is beyond any human help. He's heading down into the pit, into Sheol, and he expects certain death. And yet, from the deep, in the belly of the fish, Jonah realizes something. God is still in charge. So let's jump back to the power of the text in verse 2. "From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help." His only option at this point is to really call out to God. Help. Have you ever been there? In that place where there's just no recourse at all, nothing that can happen at this point to change or save or redeem your situation. And all you can do is call out, "Help." His prayer reflects his last thought. Trust in God. But you, Lord, my God, brought up my life from the pit. Verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. As Jonah plunged down through the waters, his life was ebbing away, things became more and more obvious. For Jonah, it was true. When things seem at their worst, when you're at your lowest point, when things seem like there's no chance that they're ever going to work out, and you're sure that nothing good will ever happen, these are the very often the times when clarity comes. The view is often clearest when you're looking up from the bottom. In his last moments, his thought returned to the Lord. And when all seems lost, Jonah remembers God. And if we go back to verse 4, we read, yet I look again toward your holy temple. It's probably best translated, not like I will, but may I look again, Lord? Like a hopeful plea, may I? He's petitioning God to let him live and once more see the place of God's dwelling in Israel. And then still looking up in prayer, Jonah, I think he finally gets it. In verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. So Jonah has a vision of clarity that salvation, not only for him but for everyone, only comes through Yahweh, the one true God of Israel. And Jonah thanks God that what would have been his end has become his rescue. In the chaos of the realm of the dead, God is still in charge, and his love is still at work in the chaos of our lives. Are you experiencing that? Are you experiencing that kind of chaos and turbulence where you're not sure where the next step is? Maybe you're experiencing it in the world around you where you are concerned or even more like afraid of what's happening in the world. Maybe you feel like foundations are being pulled away. Even in these times, you can be certain that God is still in charge. I invite you to turn to someone beside you and remind them, God is still in charge. If you're online, go ahead and write that in the comments. God is still in charge. You can trust that God's ways are above our ways, that God's plans are above our plans, that God is working things out for good, for your good and for my good and the good of all who are called. In Romans 8:28, the scripture says, and we know, we're confident in this, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And in Jeremiah 29:11, the prophet speaking for God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In Ephesians 4:1, the apostle writes, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, a God-ordained calling for each one of us, a God-directed, God-empowered calling for good. Jonah was certain that his calling for Nineveh wouldn't work out for his good, so he ran away, but he realized that God is still in charge, and God turned him around and brought him back. Do you and I need to turn around today? What feels like it's not working out right now in your life? Where's the chaos in your life or around you or in the world around you that seems like it's messing with all the good things in your life? Do you need to turn around? Is it time to finally trust and fully surrender to God's ways? I invite you to take a step of obedience. Take a step in God's direction. Trust him. And see what happens. Jonah finally gets it. And his response, I think, is the only right response that any one of us can take. He says in verse 9, what I have vowed, I will make good. He's taking a step of total obedience. What God has called, he will do. And he realizes God is in control. And he gets his prophet Jonah back on mission. And when his rescue is complete, Jonah is committed to total obedience. So trust that God's way is always the right way, and obey it. If you do, he'll guide you through the chaos and into the good plans that he has for you. But if you don't, you will find yourself sinking deeper into the chaos of disorder. So your mission and mine is to tell the whole world that God is in charge and his plans for you and for the whole world are good. The second chapter of our story, it closes as redemption comes to Jonah. His last thoughts from the belly of the fish are these. In verse 9, I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. In verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish, and then it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah is not the only one that God wants to save. Our goal is not Sheol. It's not the realm of the dead after we die. It's salvation. It's life eternally in the kingdom of God. That's the message for the nations. And life through repentance and faith in the one true God of Israel. You know him as Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. He'll lead you through the chaos into a life of fullness. He's promised it. Life and life in all its abundance. Are you sinking? Does it feel like the world is falling into chaos? When life is out of control, remember, God is still in control. Take another look. The view is often clearest when you're looking up from the bottom. Let's pray. Lord, for some of us today, we are rejoicing and grateful and in thanksgiving for your rescue, for your love, for your grace. Others of us here today, Lord, very well may feel like we're sinking. For some, we're at the bottom. Lord, like Jonah, help us to look up. Help us to raise our eyes. Help us to look to you, God, who is in control when everything else is not. Lord, I pray that for each one of us, and you especially, if you are looking up from the bottom today, that you would trust in the Lord. Put your faith, your confidence in a God who loves you, who cares for you, is redeeming you, is working out his plans for your good. And I pray, Lord, that we would all begin to experience your grace and your love in a fresh new way, so that we may walk in obedience, following you and pointing the whole world to you, Jesus. If you're listening here today or present with us and you are there at the bottom and yet you don't know the Lord we're talking about, you haven't looked up and trusted in God yet in your life, then I invite you that maybe this is the moment, this might be the very time when your rescue comes. Simply invite the Lord in. Ask Jesus to rescue you. A simple prayer like Jonah's, like this. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sin. I am helpless. Rescue me. Lord, come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may trust you and know your rescue, your security, your salvation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And if you're online or joining us here today and you've prayed that prayer, I invite you to reach out to someone that you know who is a follower of Christ. Let them know of your decision. They would love to walk with you or come talk to me. I'd love to share with you your next steps.